Welcome to Jewish Singles Radio. I am your host, Valerie Zaslow, along with Diana Pivenstein.
Hi, everybody.
Jewish Singles Radio was created to bring Jewish men and women together to build an engaging, like-minded community where we can connect and have authentic, meaningful conversations about dating after 40. If you are divorced, widowed, a single parent, or maybe you have never even been married, we hope that you will not only meet new people through the age-old art of conversation, but that you will also learn a lot.
So join us every week. We're going to be talking to dating coaches, health and wellness experts, matchmakers, religious leaders, educators, and other singles. We know that managing modern dating and navigating the single life is not easy, so we want to help you through that process. Our goal is to provide you with lots of valuable information and have a lot of fun along the way.
So if you're Jewish and single, or single and looking to meet someone Jewish, let's talk about it. Every Wednesday night from 7 to 8, right here on WWDB AM 860 or WPEN 97.5 HD2. And you can hear us wherever you get your local podcasts. So today we're talking about intimacy, sex, and masturbation after 40. So after separation, a breakup, or divorce, the idea of getting between the sheets with someone new and unfamiliar can certainly trigger a lot of fears and a lot of insecurities. It can be both exhilarating and it can be scary. So maybe you have concerns about what a new sexual partner will think of you and your body, or what you will think of them, or what if one of you or both of you don't enjoy the experience. It's common for people who have been in a long-term relationship to feel weird about having sex with someone new. So do your standards in a partner change just because you would want to have sex? Or what if you're tempted to go back to your ex-boyfriend or even your husband? We are going to address all of these concerns with our expert today on Jewish Singles Radio. In addition, it's National Masturbation Month, and I didn't even know there was such a thing, and we are going to discuss that as well. So, hi, Diana.
Hi.
So as I was saying, you know, a lack of emotional intimacy can lead to a lot of new challenges in your life when it comes to sex. And maybe it feels like the sex that we had in our younger years just faded away. And, you know, then there's a time period where you're faced with celibacy, which is difficult. And, you know, do you think or feel like now that we're over 40, and I guess more experienced in the realm of intimacy and dating and relationships, that it's easier to initiate sex for us as women?
Definitely. I think that the older you are, the more confident you are. And definitely, if you want, initiate more. But that's just if you want that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that, you know, the older you get, the more confident you feel in your, I guess, your sexual capabilities. Because you're either, you know, had more of an opportunity to date and have sexual experiences with other people. What do you think?
I mean, definitely. I could definitely say that, you know, well, maybe not. I don't know. Did the younger sex have better sex than the older you? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. And
I think it's how I feel about it. I think then I could have been a lot more shy, or maybe, I don't know, prudish. And where now I'm just kind of like, you know, we're adults. We're, you know, I think it's definitely has something to do with your confidence level and also your age and experience. But someone probably who didn't have a lot of sex when they were younger and doesn't have a lot of sex when they're older may probably feel scared about it or not have a good feeling about it. I don't know. Maybe we should talk to our expert.
Yeah, and just following up on that, I feel like even if you were married or you were in a long-term relationship, maybe it was sexless, or maybe the sex wasn't so good, or maybe you just didn't, have confidence that you didn't discuss it. You didn't have confidence in your sexual abilities, so to speak. I mean, I think it's always easier when you're familiar, when you become familiar. Starting with somebody new and jumping into bed with them is always hard.
Oh, definitely. Who likes new sex? But then I guess it could be exciting. But I don't know. I don't know. It's such a weird topic to talk about on the air, I think.
Our expert is going to say that's why she's here to talk about it. So let's get right to it with her. Joining us today is Jennifer Strickland. She's a certified clinical sexologist and sex coach whose passion is working with sexless couples and singles who have problems with low libido, jealousy, insecurity, divorce, and breakups, and individuals who lack dating skills, and anyone who just wants to spice up their relationship. She attended California State University, where she earned her BA in sociology and criminal justice. And after her studies, she ended up counseling troubled kids and working as a coach assisting physically and mentally challenged adults. And as a behavioral therapist, she was working with children in autism. And then after she earned her degree, she realized that she really wanted to explore marriage and family therapy more, and kind of had, I guess, an aha moment or a realization about the lack of sexual education, and decided to become a clinical sexologist and sex coach. So, Jen, that's a long introduction for you. Welcome to Jewish Singles Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's certainly nice to have you. So, I mean, based on, I guess, first of all, maybe you could just tell us, a little bit about what a sexologist does and a little bit about your business.
Yes. So basically, the term sexology, it is the study of human sexuality. And we study the sexual behavior, what people do sexually, and how they think and feel about it. That's just a small portion of that. It also includes like sociology, psychology, the anatomy, and whatnot. And then with that, the sex coaching part is a combination of basically personal sexuality information and education, psychoeducation. You study the cognitive, the mental reframing of the mind, and behavioral training, and how we can change that and allow growth to come in sexually.
Okay.
In addition to sex coaching, there's also something called the MEBS model. And MEBS stands for mind, emotion, body, energy, and spirit. And so we study basically, they're all connected. The mind, emotion, body, energy, and spirit, they're all connected. But when one is off, all it takes is one. You're not in sync or aligned by yourself or with your partner. So it's up to me to help unravel my clients' blind spots and help them discover the hidden truths, the barriers that are held up or inhibiting them from growing sexually as a person. And it's just like this, the whole like life transformation. It's a lot of work, a lot of body work, mentally and physical. I don't touch clients, but it's all about talking to them and unraveling the truth that they have been blind, like I said, blind spotted for years maybe, and don't even know why they're behaving the way they are or why their partner is. And it can be extremely empowering, developing this new perspective of the self. And I just help set up these building blocks for healthier sexual depth. For them to grow as a person.
That's really interesting. I guess. Do you see a lot of couples? Do you see a lot of couples or single?
Yes.
People?
More couples than singles, but there are those singles that they often tell me, I feel odd. I've always felt awkward in relationships. Like I don't know what to do, and they don't know how to be in the moment and behave. And so my job is to teach him the sexology, and the sex coach teaches the client to be in the present and the future. Be in the moment, and also we focus on the future rather than linger on in the past. And so I think they like that. They don't feel like they're being like there's these diagnoses that they're coming upon, and they feel like inhibited to speak to me. So they often are more open with me than other clinicians they've worked with.
So in terms of, I guess, just cultivating intimacy, what are some of the good habits or sexual goals that you recommend if you're dating or, you know, coming out of a long-term relationship, or maybe you're even in a relationship?
Yes. So our topic today is about masturbation. One of the biggest things I recommend people coming out of divorce, people starting a new relationship, even if they think that they are amazing at it, whatever, it doesn't matter. I always say get more in touch with your bodies. That's the first thing I do, especially people that are dating, like the person I just told you about. A person like that who feels odd and awkward and doesn't feel like they can be themselves. They don't know how to be themselves, maybe. They never were intimate. Some people don't even know how to be intimate. And they just experience sex, but they want to get closer and explore the body in a spiritual way. So that's what I do. I do the Meebs model. I hit the grounding and the breaking as far as learning about the body and the mind. Masturbation is included in that. And through the mind, we have a lot of misconceptions and misbeliefs, like what is right and what is wrong. And masturbation is one of them. So,
yeah, I guess there is kind of a stigma associated with that. And I think that it's often uncomfortable for people, you know, to talk about. I mean, just before the show, Diana and I were saying, well, this is going to be an interesting topic.
Yes, it is. So I usually give them like a little background on it. You know, I tell people that, you know, it goes back to the Victorian time period in the 1800s, even actually before that, 4,000 years in Plato, if you really want to get technical. But right now we're going to be simple. So it does go back, you know, that long. And you know, doctors would masturbate women as a potential cure for the hysterical disease. It was not that long ago, and the crazy thing is, not only did men not acknowledge that women had sexual needs, just like they did, but back in the Victorian era, apparently the women were so out of touch with their own sexual needs that they thought they needed doctors and massage their genitals. They would go into these offices and doctors would touch them, and it doesn't even sound believable. But you should watch the movie. It's called Hysteria. It's funny, and you'll learn a lot about that period and the hysterical disease. Anyway, but even though we're not like really into that now, and it's not, obviously we're in the modern age, and there's dildos and massage vibrators and whatnot. There's a stigma that still, haunts us. And you know, it's not just women that are going through this, it's men. And you know, it's either, you know, it's a double standard, but at the same time, men are even afraid. I have had some men who are Mormons, who are said that, you know, that they feel guilty doing it as an adult right now. And they have to go in a private closet, and they live alone, and there's nobody there, but that's how they feel safe doing it. Or, you know, they feel ashamed still. So religion and our background, how we're raised, has a lot to do with how we view it still to this day. But
yeah,
we should not be ashamed.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask you about, so I'm glad said that. But did want to touch on a little bit of why we actually thought of discussing this subject matter. And that's because it's National Masturbation Month, which actually you brought to my attention. So, you know, I didn't know that there was such a thing. Actually, May 7th was National Masturbation Day. And I did a little bit of research because I was curious to find out how did this even come about, and learned that it was created to protect and celebrate the right to masturbate. And the story behind it was, you know, that a woman who was formerly the Surgeon General, her name is Jocelyn Elders, she was a huge proponent of sex ed and wanted to teach kids that it's okay to masturbate. I know that she was fired by President Clinton for suggesting that masturbation be part of our sex education curriculum for students. But she did get this organization, this business, Good Vibrations, to create and declare May 7th as National Masturbation Day. And that was, 1995. I mean, we've been celebrating this for a while.
Yes. Yes, it's for a while, but at the same time, it, like you said, it's a very difficult subject to talk about. I don't think people feel comfortable about it. Even, marriage and family therapists that I know, they don't like to talk about it. That's why I went into doing the sex coaching and clinical sexology, because I enjoy it more, and we feel comfortable talking about it. People like us love to talk about it. We want to educate people. And like you said about children, it is really important, because, research shows that if you teach a child or children at a younger age and you talk to them about it, talk to your children about masturbation, that it shows that they're more inclined to pass on having sex at an earlier age than if they were shamed or they weren't talked or they weren't discussed about it. So kids tend to act out more, and they want to do obviously what is wrong. If they're not taught, that's why they need to be taught. When I was a kid, my mom taught me everything. It's crazy. I think I just wound up in the right profession. But she literally taught me baby steps. It wasn't like I was 5 years old and I knew about the entire genitalia. But it's important, my mom is a great role model. So to teach your children slowly a little bit and not be afraid to discuss what the parts are to your children.
Diana, did you talk to your kids? Not to interrupt you, I'm curious, Diana, did you talk to your girls about masturbation?
No. No, I think that they're too small right now for that. And I do see where talking to them beforehand is a benefit, because I would never want them to feel any type of stigma about their body, and me as an adult knowing what it is, and that I know that it's really not a big deal and something that you do for yourself, and it's not a crime, and it's not like something that, maybe not too many older people may appreciate. I don't know how to phrase it right, but I don't want them to ever feel uncomfortable to ever come to me about anything. And I don't want them to think that what they're doing is like wrong or there's something wrong with them. But I just don't think that at this age, I don't know. But then I would have other moms be like, oh, my children are like doing this like when they're sleeping or right before they go to sleep. And I don't know if I should tell them to stop or keep doing it. Like, it is a topic like in a mom's group. I can't say I participated in that exact topic, but I have seen other moms talk about it. And I do see how it could be important. So that's like my small view on it.
I mean,
yes, exactly.
It's interesting, Jen. I'm curious to hear your response, because it's really not something that I ever discussed with my son. Or if I attempted to, he would be like, what? I'm not talking to you about that. I can't even believe you asked me that question, or walk out of the room, or you know what I mean? And, I guess turn bright red, but I guess he was a little older. At least he was like a teenager. And of course, every parent thinks you have to have the discussion about the birds and the bees. But I don't know that, too many people discuss masturbation with their children. So, I mean, I can understand where we all feel like this is something that you should learn in sex class in school, mm-hmm. which I was surprised, that was something that, couldn't happen. As I mentioned earlier, just changing the direction of this conversation a little bit, I read that according to a Harvard University study, masturbation can reduce prostate cancer. And the study also said that if you ejaculate at least 21 times a month, you will reduce your chances of prostate cancer. And actually, when I read that, I had heard that before. So I wanted to really ask you, like, what are other health benefits of masturbating?
Yes, well, aside from that, that's definitely one of the biggest ones, lowering prostate cancer. It obviously it lowers stress, especially when you are having a hard day at work, or maybe even just before you go to work. it doesn't hurt to just put a quickie in there in the day, in the morning. It lowers stress tremendously. It lowers high blood pressure along with the stress. And that's going to be good for people also who are diabetic. It increases confidence, and I think that's important. We get to know our body a little bit more, and we're more aware of who we are, and we become less afraid the more we touch ourselves. And it's good to get that smile in and that giggle when you had an orgasm or you came that day. It starts your whole day off in a very positive way. It makes you happier, of course. If you're orgasming, or even if you haven't orgasmed yet, but you're learning about your body and touching yourself, that's still a very positive attribute about who you are. You are trying. You're making efforts to want to be a happier person and more confident. It helps to get to know your body more and what you enjoy about your body naked. Doing it with your partner is a way to become more intimate with each other. And you also learn what each of you are like sexually together, like what you approve of and what you don't approve of. Like, I like to be touched there. No, don't touch me there, you know? And it's okay not to be like, you know, to like every part of your body to be touched. But at least you can explore that, not just by yourself, but with your partner. And it's a very intimate, it's so intimate, you know, to do that. And some partners that I've worked with, or couples, I mean, they feel uncomfortable doing it together. So, I teach them ways to gradually get into it, because one is usually a little bit more turned on by it, and the other one is like, I don't really want to do that with my partner. So I gently, you know, gradually teach them ways like how to slowly get to maybe where they can feel comfortable doing it. But there's no force ever. They have to do it on their own will and want to do it. But like, you know, not touching the genitals in the beginning. Maybe just kissing and you know, with the clothes on, even as a start, to just, if you're not used to masturbating or with your partner and you want to explore that, but you're a little afraid, you can start with the clothes on and just sensually kiss that your partner and gradually work your way to touching them in those areas, in the penis or the clitoral area or the vulva area, and not be afraid. But again, there are different exercises. That's part of the MEBS model that I address that, and get them into feeling more comfortable. So hoping they can hopefully express that when they are naked. And then, you know, just, it's a way for you to learn your anatomy more. I think, you know, especially women, I think, like I said earlier, there's a double standard with men and masturbating, and they've been, it's always okay. Okay, a man can masturbate, it's not a problem. But a woman, you know, at an early age, you're taught to be pretty and clean and don't do this and that. So masturbation kind of follows along with that stigma for girls, little girls, and growing up to be women. So it's important to get to know your body. That's another good benefit of masturbation, is to getting to know your anatomy. Like I said, look, get a mirror. Go in there, literally. Put a mirror below, and I'd like you to see yourself and look at everything. Your check out your vulva, what's included, your inner lips, your labia. You know, your urethra opening, you know, your clitoral glands, to see if you have a hooded clitoral area or a non-hooded one. Explore that, and you get to know your body more, you know. Read up on it and educate yourself as much as possible.
Okay, so I apologize for that delay. I thought, Diana, that you were...
Yes, sorry. There must have been something with the sound, but I was going to say, I did have a question. I did read somewhere that women that don't masturbate are more likely to not orgasm when they're with a partner. Would you say that that's true, or
I think that, yes, to a certain extent, from, yes, they have a harder time reaching, if they don't know their bodies well enough, it definitely have a hard time reaching orgasm with their partner. And yes, so that's where you get the pre-orgasmic primary woman who has never orgasmed before, is what you're mentioning. Yes, so it is definitely important to get to know your body. It highly reinforcing that.
And I heard that masturbation is actually, it's like good to have an orgasm when you go to bed. Like it helps you to go to sleep.
Yes.
To relax.
It does that for me. Yeah, for me, it does that too. You know, I enjoy it. I think it's also like a little workout. It reduces calories, not a ton of calories, but it does, it rejuvenates your body. And just like when you have sex, when you're done, if you look in the mirror, if you really focus on enjoying your body and you look in the mirror, your face will look a lot more plump. And for me, it does that. I don't know. I've heard stories about other women too, but it does, it makes your face is plump and like almost like there's like a collagen, you know, plump in your skin that's coming through. And it's just like sex does the same thing. But if you do that more, it does, studies do show that it can keep you younger looking, you know? So I don't know.
That's encouraging to hear.
Yeah. Why not?
At least. We're going to pause for a short break and please stay with us. You are listening to Jewish Singles Radio. We'll be right back.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Serving my country required sacrifice. Sacrifice that changed my life forever. I remember the day I came home. Because of my injuries, this house wasn't right for me anymore. I remember the narrow doorways, the small bathrooms, the shelves out of reach when in my wheelchair. Every day was full of obstacles. I felt trapped. I remember a better day, the day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. That day changed everything. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for. This place, our home, is exactly what we needed to rebuild our lives.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Welcome back to Jewish Singles Radio. If you are just joining us, we are talking about intimacy, sex, and masturbation. And we're speaking with Jennifer Strickland, who is a certified clinical sexologist and sex coach. And she spends her time talking to people who feel, unconfident about themselves, their sexual ability. They feel, you know, lack of dating skills or want to spice up their relationship a little bit. So, Jen, if you are divorced or you recently ended a relationship and you have casual sex for a while, I think, you know, you could maybe just feel like you're in uncharted waters because you were married or involved with someone for a long time. But how do you know if you're ready to be intimate with someone new?
I think it's more about the person it's themselves. If they know that they're confident and they don't lack any insecurities and they know their body really, really well. And they feel that they're confident in their communication, and they know what they want in a relationship. They have boundaries even in a relationship. And that shows the confidence that they can hold boundaries, and that's part of knowing who you are and what you want. If they have those qualities, if some of those, that can show right there that they're ready to go date. But if they are, if they lack these confidence and insecurities, and they're not happy with who they are, their body, you know, in their mind, then they probably should seek sex coaching or, you know, a sexologist to help them uncover some of those blocks in their minds. So their bodies can function the way they're intended to sexually and happily.
I mean, talking about just how your body functions, I'm curious to know about exercises that you can do to kind of reconnect with your sexual self. I heard or read something about pelvic floor therapy. I don't know if that's related to kind of getting, you know, to an exercise for, you know, to help yourself with sex and intimacy.
Yes. I mean, actually, pelvic floor exercises can help increase libido in men and women. And, orgasm. It can actually help increase a stronger orgasm. Every man and woman basically has a potential to have multi-orgasms, but not everyone can have multi-orgasms. So would you like to know about orgasms and libido and pelvic floor exercises? Would you like the combination of that? Or would you like to know the steps on how to do the pelvic floors for the libido?
Yeah, I'm interested to hear both.
Okay,
yeah,
awesome.
Definitely.
Okay, all right. So I'll talk about men. There's a special way to do it. And then also for women, pelvic floor, it's the same as men though. So like I said, some people can have multi-orgasms, but it doesn't mean everybody can't, just because, you know, even with a G-spot with a woman, I'm just kind of going ahead a little bit. But just because everybody has a different body anatomy, and they also, we're talking about people who may be on drugs or medications, antidepressants or whatnot. So there's different factors as to why someone can't have an orgasm. And sometimes pelvic floor, some people don't feel it working for them because based on some of these health concerns. So I just wanted to throw that out before I get into it. So anyway, to help train a man to be more multi-orgasmic, he needs to start doing the pelvic floor exercises, or they call them Kegels. So to locate the pelvic muscles in the man, you have to basically start by doing stop and start of the flow of the urine. So you might want to urine a little bit and then stop. That's how you're going to find your pelvic floor working. That's not going to be the exercise you're going to continue, but that's how you're going to locate the pelvic floor muscle working, if that makes sense. So you're going to urinate and when you're, you know, in a stream inside of the toilet, and then you're going to stop and hold and clench those muscles. So after you do that, you really don't have to do that ever again. And because you just needed to know what it feels like to do it. And so basically daily, what you want to do is locate those same muscles that you feel when you were doing the stream, but without urinating. And you want to squeeze your muscles down there at the pelvic floor for about 4 seconds. You just go 1, 2, 3, 4, or you can go 1 potato, 2 potato, 3 potato. Get a little bit longer, because the longer you squeeze, that's better. Then release for about 2 seconds. So hold and squeeze for 4 seconds, release for 2 seconds, and then you want to repeat that for 20 times. Then after that, you're going to take a short break for about 20 seconds, and then you're going to do 2 more sets of 20, totaling 60 repetitions. So you need to do this every day for 3 weeks straight. And then many people see a major difference in their libido, in their sex life. And that also can help having men having multi-orgasms, which we're about to get into deeper with that. So doing that in addition, don't forget. So do that in addition. And then so when the man is masturbating.
So I'm sorry, before you, is it the same thing for women?
No, that's what I was trying to say. Basically, women for this, if you do the pelvic floor exercises for women, that's just going to help automatically help her libido. It just automatically helps her libido with her clitoral stimulation. And she doesn't have to do, because obviously the man has a penis. It's a different part. What I'm about to go into is totally different. But for the women, just doing the pelvic floor exercises, it will help increase libido. She will get more sexually turned on, hopefully. Again, I said earlier, if there are no health concerns, okay, if there are no health concerns, we're not on medications or we don't have an underlying health condition, this should work for many women that I've worked with. But for women that have other issues, maybe unexplained diagnoses that have not been diagnosed yet, and they should go get checked out. If they do these pelvic floor exercises, I recommend if something's not working for them or they continue to have a lower libido, whatever, they should probably go see their gynecologist or their general practitioner so they can check their testosterone levels. And that's where I would go with that. That would be my next step for women. If something like this wasn't maybe working as well for them. But that's something I'm very positive about, that women have worked. It has worked for women.
It's about a lot of education, obviously, because actually the way that I even heard about this was, from a doctor. And I almost felt like, how would you know to do this? Or maybe I think you would just tend to think like, oh, maybe something's wrong with me, or it's just one of the, commonplace things that happen as we age, that, you start to feel kind of like out of touch with your sexual self.
Right. And the older you get, your libido does lower. So it doesn't mean that if I tell you, okay, do these, or try these pelvic floor exercises, that poof, magic is going to happen and you're going to be able to, it doesn't mean it's going to happen for everyone. But I will tell you, if you can get in touch, it's never too late, no matter how old you are. I don't care if you're 60, 50, 40, whatever. If you decide to get in touch with your genitalia at this time and age, even if you're 70, it's never too late. Get to know your body more as much as possible. Start doing the pelvic floor exercises. It's better than not doing them at all. Again, you're doing something more empowering. If anything, you're taking control of your body and you're saying, I'm setting standards to make myself feel really good. And nobody can control that but myself. No partner of mine. You can even do it with or without your partner. But even if you're single, it's even more empowering. You do it when you want to, and there's nobody telling you not to do it. It's your body, and embrace it, embrace your sexuality. And your body and your parts that you were born to have and enjoy,
I'm just curious if stress, causes you any kind of sexual dysfunction. I know, stress causes a lot of things. While we're talking about doing exercises, I mean, this is certainly like one of the reasons that you would do them. I read that it causes erectile dysfunction for men. What exactly does stress do to us sexually?
Yes. It can age us for one thing. And, more people that are stressed are, you're seeing more today sexless relationships. And, unfortunately.
So you kind of just withdraw, you're saying?
You're disconnected. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. I guess, just feel like you're exhausted or you don't have time or it's too much effort or, any of those things.
Absolutely. And a lot of couples are even not just individual people, but couples, that's one of the highest couples I see on my list are people that are sexless and they are stressed. And that's what they either have a low libido or they just don't have time and they want to have sex, but they're just like, they get used to the relationship and the routine of not having sex, that they just forget about it altogether. And it's during the childbearing years, most of all. It takes control of their life and they don't know what they can do about it. But there is a way to get back on the wagon and enjoy sex again. And you have to make time to do that, though. That's another subject. But yes, you have to make time to do that. And stress, here's the thing. If you make your relationship number one, your stresses should decrease. Like, make it number one over your child, because what's going to happen is your relationship with your child is even going to improve. Your relationship, in turn, your child becomes number one when your relationship is number one. So when you do something like that, you're reducing stress. You're making time for each other. You're getting a babysitter if you have to. You're fighting for your relationship, doing whatever you, it's another job. You're doing whatever you have to do to make it work. You're exhausting everything because your relationship is important to you, and you will do whatever it takes to stay in it and enjoy and try to enjoy, sex and sensuality and bringing foreplay. And there's other things you can do to help a sexless relationship. You know, we're going in a whole other subject, but yeah, you know, there's so many things you can do to relieve stress.
Yeah. And one of the things I wanted to know is and I know you said that, you know, there was some, creative ways to approach foreplay, and maybe that's something that we can get into, but I just wanted to ask you in relation to this, and stress, like, and then if you're divorced or you've had a long relationship and just trying to get back into the swing of things, maybe just the fear of intimacy with somebody new is different, because nobody wants to have terrible sex after divorce. But what do you recommend to people for that? And do you just start off just by feeling good about yourself first and masturbating, or is it something that you just kind of delve into with a new partner?
Yes, I highly, highly, highly recommend, you can go online or you can go into a sex store, to go and explore different vibrators and dildos. It's very empowering. And you can go online and do it. You don't have to even step into a store. And if you feel embarrassed about it, you don't have to do that. You can just go online, and they have so many dildos out there that you can explore and see which ones are going to work for you. You learn about your mind and body when you're doing that. And that's going to, I think, help build confidence before you're going into your new relationship or whatnot, like if you're divorced and you're wanting to explore different things. Another thing, when you were with that person before you were divorced, that person, maybe you felt held down, and maybe you weren't able, you felt like you could do the things you wanted to then. And this is giving you the chance to reclaim some of the power you lost or power you never even had with your significant other. So taking charge of your life and doing something about it is a first step in having a healthier sexual relationship in the future. So go get a dildo, go explore, go buy several of them, buy a glass dildo, go buy a silicone dildo, ones that focus on the clitoral area and all of it, the vulva. So, getting to know you more, and maybe even seeing a sex coach on the side. You could see a sex therapist if you have any psychological issues that are not physical. Then you can go see a sex therapist potentially, and that can help you with some of those mind blocks that you have. In addition with discovering your body more with the dildos and masturbating and whatnot.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if you're in therapy or really having, a lot of emotional turmoil from your last relationship, is it healthier to kind of jump into a new sexual relationship, or should you avoid having sex?
I don't think you should avoid having sex necessarily. I think, again, it depends on the person. It's all about the confidence. If you have insecurities, if you had jealousy issues before, you know yourself better. So if you already have jealousy issues, and you go straight into another relationship, maybe you felt rejected before, and you're going to bring that excess baggage into that future relationship, you're not doing yourself any favors. You should work on yourself, in my opinion. You should work on yourself first. Dating is okay. I think that's okay. But if you're going to have multiple sex partners and you're not really thinking about the valuing yourself, if you need to value you, and take pride in you as a woman or man, and not be afraid to say, I don't have to have sex with this person. I want to learn about my body. I want to, so I can have the best potential sex in the future. I don't need to have sex just to fulfill a void. It's important that healthy people should be having sex. And if you're having sex to fill a void or some psychological need, that's not healthy. It's not bad, but it's not the healthiest, if you know what I mean. It needs to be, I feel, in my opinion, that it's a precursor to future marriages and how they're going to last and how well they're going to, you know, be healthy or not or whatnot.
Do you think that there's any stage that a married couple should go see a sex therapist? You know, do you think, you know, when is it the time to maybe suggest for a couple to go see somebody like you or a sex therapist?
Yeah, or yes. Maybe you don't even have to be married. I mean, you could just be in a relationship.
Or even in a relationship. Like, at what stage, you know, is it?
I think when it's interfering with your life. Like, yeah, when it's interfering with your life and you feel that there's a problem, and you know, the person can only tell you, they know their own mind. So the client or the person themselves, they have to know that they feel there's an awkwardness about themselves. Or they know that something's off and they want to do something better about their life. You know, if they feel like it's something psychological, I keep telling people that a lot, is if it's physical, Viagra or something can take care of some issues. That's just an example. But it's psychological, like we're talking about maybe somebody who's been sexually abused and they're having trouble maybe throughout their whole lives on exploring different sexual positions or sexual foreplay or getting close to somebody. Even masturbation is like they can't even think about that. So a person has been sexually abused, maybe who is, it's a continuing a cycle of a relationship. They don't feel close enough to people. They don't know how to get close enough to people. Things like that. That is an example of how, where somebody needs to go get counseling and go seek somebody like a sex therapist. Other things. Yeah. You know,
I'm sorry. I'm just curious. Like, why wouldn't, like, maybe someone would think like I'm having lack of chemistry. Is that a reason why somebody would see?
Oh no, not necessarily.
Like,
no.
You?
Oh yes, and, I thought you meant sex therapist. Kind of, yeah, of course.
Yeah. But
yes,
like, I
definitely.
Think that, you know, so they may think that it's a lack of chemistry, but it could be some other kind of underlying issue.
Absolutely. It could be them or the people they continue to date or be with. Maybe it's not them at all, but it's who they're choosing to be. And you know, it could be something they're choosing their parent or somebody, a partner that they had before that they had. I have worked with people that have had partners that have been, you know, abusive or whatnot. And then they go back and find those same partners. Or they'll talk to them badly again. And that's all they can find because that's all they know out there. And their mind needs to be reframed. It needs to be changed on knowing their self-worth, what they're valued. You know, that's where I come in. If they have issues with that, I would help them with their self-value and see, like, how much are you worth? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to go in pain all these years? Are you going to continue the cycle? So my job is to get them to break the cycle. So, yes, people like that I do see. I help them break the cycle of if they have chemistry issues on how they can find somebody that's more compatible for them and what ways, what to look for and whatnot.
So what do you think some of the biggest misconceptions about sex are after a long-term relationship? I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, have just ideas formulated in their mind because, you know, look, we're not 20 anymore.
Right. That a big one is that, you know, you can either come a lot or, you know, I hope that's okay to say on the air. You can, you can have lots of orgasms. Yeah. Sorry about it. You can have lots of orgasms. And you know, you're never going to change. You're always going to stay, lubricated down there. You know, the thing is that our bodies do change. I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, but our bodies do change. And also, I work with, like I said, body image issues. So there's a lot of older women who are stuck that are not familiar with the younger generation, and they see all these young girls that are dressed up sexy, and they think that they can't keep up. But the thing is that they can be just as sexy, and they are just as sexy. Their minds and their perception is saying, I have to look like that, but they don't have to. when, you know, they, as long as they work on their bodies, there's a man or a woman out there for everybody. And they're just looking for that particular person even. But the misconception of, like, you have to look a certain way, or you have to be a certain way. You have to, oh, I got to keep up. I got to make sure that I have an orgasm because that 20-something-year-old, or I'm afraid my person's going to leave me. Or, you know, I get these jealousy things come in all the time from couples. So it's a combination of things. They need to work on themselves. I don't know if I'm answering that correctly, but the misconceptions are they need to work on who they are and not focus so much about like what society is saying. We get wrapped up so much in what people say you should be like, or watching something on TV, and then the older generation gets, you know, very saddened by it and depressed and think they can never keep up. And that's not true. That's not true at all. In fact, the older you are, you know your body more. And you can even have a better sex life than a younger person because you know your body more. Because you're,
yeah, that
you're
was one of the
body.
Things that I wanted to ask you. I mean, do you think mm-hmm. that our standards in a partner change? As we get older, I mean, our sexual standards. I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, as you get older, you're maybe, of course, you want to enjoy intimacy, but maybe you're also looking for greater compatibility.
Absolutely. The older we get, that's what it is. I even feel that with my husband. You know, I'm about to turn 46 in a couple of weeks, but I feel that we were just talking about this subject the other day on how, like, we can look at each other and we can have sex and it's great sex, but, like, we can say, you know, if we had to skip a month and we were just busy, just making up a scenario, we know that we feel so connected mentally that it doesn't even matter. Like, the sex is not as important. I mean, it's, don't get me wrong, it's very important, but it's not like it's the number one thing. When you get a little older, I think that you want to know your partner in an intimate way. There's passion still, but you want to know that there's trust there and there's a friendship. And that, you know, maybe you want to die with your, you know, grow old and die with your partner. But you're more comfortable with who you are in your skin as you get older. I find that with my husband and I, we're way more comfortable than I was like when in my 20s or 30s, and I was trying to prove something and have to wear a skimpy outfit. I don't have to do that. I can rest and feel good. And I feel more confident as a person. And so does he, you know, even men have issues like this, but he feels more confident. He's like, I'm happy. I'm in my happy place. So the older you get, there's good news. The older you get, I think it even gets better with your partner.
How about, and just quickly, because we are almost out of time, but I did want to touch on something that you mentioned earlier. I mean, just how about a more modern approach to foreplay?
Oh, a more modern approach to foreplay. Well, I always say, why do you have to do foreplay in the bedroom or in your house? Like that, I mean, let's spice it up a little bit. I think that people get bored, and I have a lot of clients that say, but all he wants to do is do this, and he just wants to have sex and get it over with and get it really quickly done, and I want to do something different. I have women that often complain about that. The men just want to get it over with, the men just want to get it over with, and the women want something new and fresh. So I highly recommend foreplay. It should be playful. And sometimes I think it should involve role playing, fantasy play, dirty talk, flirting throughout the day and week. I go over all these things with my clients. We talk about, I teach them how to talk dirty. I teach them the fantasies they can bring up with and give them ideas when their relationship feels like it's going stale. And I also incorporate that they will use food or dessert in the bed before having sex.
Maybe I know that's even, a popular
yes,
one.
yes, chocolate, strawberries, or maybe they can start their foreplay in a restaurant or at a picnic outdoors. You know, it can increase the intimacy and the passion. But
it's
I
the
think
sex
it should
before
be taken.
The sex.
Yes, take it outside the apartment or the house. Get outside, and nobody has to see you doing these things. It's private. It's between you guys. Like, there are things. You can even get there's a cozy restaurant I go to sometimes where you can sit in a booth, and, you know, they even have closed booth curtains. They have those places everywhere. And you can even get away with some things that you wouldn't in a normal, like a regular restaurant, you know. Maybe you could touch a little bit more under the table. I've done some pretty sneaky things, exciting things. But these are things that, you know, we also want to focus less on breasts, genitals, and butts. I wanted to bring that up before
at that point, I should say, can you let our listeners know where they can find you?
Yes. If you want to follow me in my Facebook group, please join my group. It's called Sex Talk with Jen. And you can also reach me on my website. It is www.sextalkwithjen.com. Feel free to make an appointment, please. I would love to get the show started for you and help you reclaim your intimacy, your relationship, and your sexiness. Get the juices flowing again.
Amazing.
Well,
I think this was, you know, a great show, great conversation, and certainly very enlightening. So thank you, Jen, for joining us today on Jewish Singles Radio.
And my pleasure. Thank you.
To our listeners, tune in every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock right here on WWDB 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 FM. HD2. If you miss the live broadcast, tune in to WWDBAM.com, or you can listen to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and follow us on social media. Bye-bye, everyone.